Hey, friends. There's a few dates in particular coming up, which I'd like to see as many 12 and a half as possible in the next few months. March 15th and 16th, I'll be headlining Laughs Unlimited in Sacramento. April 5th, I'll be at the Last Best Comedy Club in Bozeman, Montana. I'd love it if we could get some 12 and a half in the crowd for those particular dates. And the first week of May, I'll be at the MGM in Las Vegas. Be fun to party with you there. TJ will be in Syracuse February 16th and 17th. Raleigh, North Carolina, the Improv, March 8th and 9th. And if you want more details about his dates, go to tjmillerdoesnothaveawebsite.com. And enjoy the show. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey, everybody. We've added a live show on September 7th at 4:20 p.m. in Phoenix, Arizona, at Rick Bronson's House of Comedy. We'll be doing stand-up all week. If you go to one of the stand-up shows, the podcast will only be $5. So come join us. We'd love to meet you in Phoenix, September 7th.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Answering the questions you don't have. Deep conversations in the shallow end. Two men with lots of ideas and less than an hour. Intelligent-ish. This is Cashing In with TJ Miller.
I know what to do.
Hello.
Hi, is this the...
This is Dr. Millier.
Hi, Dr. Millier.
Hello.
My name's Cash Levy.
This is Dr. Millier.
Hi, yeah. I just...
I can hear you now. Can you hear me?
Is this the podcast therapist?
Well, I am a... yes, Dr. Millier, clinical podcast therapeutic clinician, yeah.
Okay, well, I wanted to talk to you about some of the stuff that's been going on with my podcast.
Well, first, let's start here, please.
Okay,
So, will you give me your name?
You're the boss, doctor. My name's Cash Levy.
Cash Levy, okay.
Cash Levy. I have a podcast. It's called Cashing In with TJ Miller, and I just wanted to talk to you about it. I know it. How much do you charge per minute?
Well, really, it's a sliding scale. You know, it just kind of depends on your background and what's going on. So I like to get to know a little bit more about you and, you know, and then we can...
Okay, I'm comfortable with that. That sounds like a good way to do it,
well,
just where I find out later.
Well, you're going to want to know if you want to work with me.
Okay.
And I want to know if I can help you.
So we're not on the clock now.
No, not yet.
Oh, fantastic. Well, let me just tell you about my situation. I have a podcast, and I'll be honest with you.
It's like too short. Yeah. Promoters pay me $10,000 just to breathe on the mic. Or what is it? You know, just to pick up the phone, I guess would be for me. Anyway, I'm a large hip hop fan. I weigh about 250.
Well, the situation is just that I needed someone to talk to. I don't think anyone would understand except you. I've heard you come highly recommended. I know Mark Maron calls you sometimes.
Well, I do.
Doug Benson calls you.
I'm not at liberty to say who my clients are, but I do deal in. Sort of many different disorders of the podcasting functional mind.
That's really what we're here. I mean, I appreciate you taking my call. Bottom line, I just feel like a failure. I've been doing my podcast for 2 years, And so far, I've only had one guest, and it's kind of embarrassing. My guest keeps canceling.
Well, is the format of the show?
Well, no, I don't think the listeners have even noticed at this point.
So it's an interview show?
Yeah, it's an interview show with different guests, and I don't even think the listeners have noticed. In fact, I think some of the listeners think I've done it. I think some of the listeners think I've done it on purpose.
So I'm just thinking.
But I think eventually they're going to find out.
Yeah. Okay.
Was that you sort of thinking about the situation?
Yeah,
most of us don't think out loud like that. When we do, we call it talking.
I'll tell you right now.
When we do, we call it talking when we think out loud.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I'm not thinking out loud. If I was, then I would be saying, well, I wonder what did, you know.
This... But I have this one guest that comes on every time, and I'm not going to say who he is, and the fans love him. So, like, the podcast is going pretty well as far as they're concerned. But all he does is come on and just make fun of the way I talk.
He just makes fun of the way I talk. There seems to be some neurosis rooted in paranoia.
Well, that's why I'm calling you doctor.
Yeah, for you specifically. It seems
how
like did, you
how do you pronounce
attacked.
Your name again?
Millier.
Millier.
Dr. Millier. Monsieur's Millier.
Yeah, okay.
They say when it's more than one of me. But that doesn't happen that often, does it? I wonder.
And that
was thinking out loud. Now, here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to need to know about the podcast.
Okay.
I can feel some neurosis from you. Do you find that when you're on the road, do you do live podcasts?
Yes.
Okay. Do you find, well, this I guess a two-part question. One, when you're on the road, do you find yourself thinking about the podcast a lot? Even if you're just, you yourself are headlining, I assume you're a headliner, I don't speak with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And I do. I think about it all the time.
You do?
Yeah. I think about how to get new guests.
When you're at home.
I think about it all the time.
Really?
I'm obsessed with it.
When you're with your sons or two sons and your wife.
Wait a second. How did you know that?
I'm one of the best in my field.
You're good at what you do.
Is it Levy?
Levy. Yeah. Cash Levy.
Mr. Levy.
Yeah. Cashless Levy.
I'd like to take on your case.
Oh, well, this is great. I'm so excited because there's things that I want to discuss with you. Like, I'm almost afraid to interview another guest now because I'm so used to this one guest. Even though he mocks me most of the show, I still feel like I am friends with him, by the way. He's a good guy.
I charge $2,132 a minute.
Well, that sounds really reasonable. Yeah, I mean, I'd have to do the math, but I think that sounds great.
Okay, excellent, excellent. Well, let's begin here.
You want to just...
Mm-hmm. Well, you keep sort of skipping to the guest. It seems already like... The guest is an integral part of your show. It's an interview show, I assume.
Yeah, it is. Mm. It's some hard hitting topics. It's a lot of people.
You seem like a straight shooter,
and that's why I think we've sort of alienated some of our listeners because it's very hard hitting topics.
Some of the listeners are some of the potential guests.
Potential listeners and guests. I think people are afraid to come on because I probe pretty deeply.
What network is the show on?
It's called the Nerdist Network.
Oh, it's an excellent network.
You work with some of the people over there?
I do. You know, I can't really say his name out loud, but he's not from here, let's say. And he has a podcast about, let's say, video art competitions
or something like that. Okay.
And this is all just in vagaries. And he is a goddamn mess. I mean, he is fucking falling apart.
Well, good. I'm glad I'm not the only one.
I mean, he will be off his rocker. Within 12 months, 18 months.
I'm glad I'm not the only one.
I only give him 38 years to live. That's it. That's all I can give him.
Well, how old do you think he is now?
God, he must be in his late birdies, which is your 30s when your name is Birdie. Oh, shit, I gave away his first name. Look, the point is, I see a lot of people from the network. It's a successful network. It doesn't sound like your show is as successful as you'd like.
Well, we have 12 and a half listeners.
Yeah, Cash is here. Mr. Levy, I don't purport to be able to change your life for the better. Mm-hmm. I can't make your podcast more palatable.
To the masses?
For the masses, for the American public. All I can do is help you work through your own clinical issues that relate directly to the podcast to hopefully free up your own mind and stop being your own obstacle in making your podcast great.
Mm-hmm.
And
this is great.
If through that you are able to, find some sort of solace in your own life, great. But make no mistake, the only thing I give a shit about in these four walls or whenever we're on the phone. I also do phone sessions, and I can do Skype, but it's a little bit pricier because I got to buy the Skype credit. And it is. They don't sell themselves. Let me put it this way: they're not growing on digital trees. Ooh, Susanna, coming down to me.
Well, I have you on a landline.
Two drops in the bucket, baby. You know you just don't know me.
I have you on the landline right now.
Oh, Susanna. Skype credit don't grow on trees. You can dip your honey stick outside, but you better come out without bees.
Did you say honey stick?
You better come back without bees. Anyway, so make no mistake.
Yeah.
The only thing I give a shit about
yeah.
in these hallowed halls, and yeah. you should know that my practice is in a hallway. I don't have enough money for an actual office, so I just rent the hallway. So there are frequent people coming in and out if you have a live session with
me. Yeah. Well, you sound crystal clear. Are you on a landline? I'm on a landline. Are you on a landline right now?
I am on, okay. yes. I am on okay. a line, and I am on land.
Okay.
Let me put it that way.
Okay.
Make no mistake, Mr. Levy.
Okay. You've said that a few times.
The only thing I give a shit about
yeah.
in this dumpy hallway of an office yeah. and this creature corn-fed happenstance, half-baked world we live in.
Yeah.
I care about your podcast.
Oh, thank
not you.
Not you. Oh, the podcast itself.
And that's the way I roll.
That's the way it's got to be.
My little tetherball pole.
Well,
and I tell it like it is, too. I think you'll enjoy it because I don't mince my words either. I mean, I know he makes fun of you for mincing up your words and scrambling them and making hodgepodge pish posh of the human language. But I don't mince words, and I don't eat mince.
What about minced meat? Do you ever eat that?
I will eat minced meat, but I've never had quince, which I think is a jelly that comes with crackers.
Do you ever read Dean R. Kuntz? Do you ever read his books?
No, but I'm familiar with the sculptor, Peen Boontz.
Boontz. Mm-hmm. Okay. Have you ever been to the Boondocks? It's in Missouri.
I have not, but I've worn Dockers, and it's been more of a boon than a burden.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard the song Beast of Burden?
Yes, I have. I like it.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's good. I'm a vehicle beast of burden.
All right. Well, listen. You know, this is your clock, so.
Well, let's. Do you mind? We'll do the show together, and then maybe you can give me some advice.
Well, actually, I was going to say, do you do a lot of singing on the show? Interesting. Maybe we can get right to the problem. All right, so I'm going to need to see the format of your podcast.
Okay, well, what it starts off with.
I need to see what it, you know, what it's all about. And, yeah. and we'll talk
I don't have the podcast with me, but I have a lot of listeners' questions. And maybe we could just do some of those today. And you'll just get a feel for the kind of things they're curious
yeah,
about.
Yeah, just if you could just start. Let's yeah. start it off with.
It's called a. Well, we usually start the show off with something called the triple banger lightning round.
That's
wow,
what
you're
I
good.
Thought. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Again, I mentioned I'm
you,
the best in my field.
Are you
continue.
Are you clairvoyant?
No. I although I've been on a few voyages with my wife Claire.
Do you sail?
Away, never too close to the wind. Let me put it that way. Let the wind do its job. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. Well,
Mr. Levy.
This first triple banger lightning round question comes from Jimmy Branson,
and this is a question that you yeah. would ask your guest.
Yeah. This is what I would ask my guest. And I won't tell you who
the
my
same
guest is.
You're saying.
It's almost it pretty much is like I said. I don't think the listeners have noticed, but it's pretty much the
okay,
same
that's
guest.
Important.
Pretty
that's
much.
Important. All right. Go ahead.
Yeah. So it's sort of weird
I would
like
assume
that.
That's the root of your problems. But go
well,
ahead.
I know if I could just get other guests, or if my guest could just do different like characters. That kind of thing, but he's not that versatile.
I don't think
he's
that's not, a good idea. That to no. me smells of comedy bang bang.
Okay.
The
okay.
fish stinks from the head down, and the tail smells like asshole. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead.
Okay. Triple banger lightning round question one. Clif Bars, hot dogs for hippies?
Okay. Okay. And so then he would answer.
Yeah, let's just do the show and see if you can do it. Maybe
are
that'll give me comfort
with
level.
Playing therapy?
Yeah, that's why it'll give me some comfort level.
RPT,
to know
okay.
I could interview somebody else but him. So maybe you could just
all right,
play
well,
along with me.
You know, I'm not going to do it as myself. So how would you describe his personality?
Well, he's really outlandish.
Is he abrasive?
He can be abrasive. He can be very loud.
Yeah.
He can be. He sort of walks the fine line between sacred and profane.
Mm.
He'll go from goofy to very detailed and in-depth.
Does he refer to his dick a lot? Is he talking about his dick?
I think he...
Has he ever referred to his dick as a pickle?
Or maybe old broccoli head, that kind of thing.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. That doesn't sound...
Broccoli head. Something broccoli something.
Okay.
I don't commit all the things he calls his penis to memory. As good of a friend as we are,
would you say
I try not to commit to memory?
Is he obsessed with anything in particular? Some sort of word that he says over and over again? He might talk about farming it or stealing, burgling, anything like that.
There's things like nerd burgling. Okay. He loves to go shucking and fucking. I don't know if that's
And that is the act of shucking corn husks and then. Fucking immediately afterwards.
He does. Yeah.
Does he talk about fucking until a certain point? Until some sort of change occurs.
I don't know. I mean, it almost sounds like you're familiar with the show a little bit.
No. I just
hanging and dangling. That's something.
Yeah. From that,
when he goes to a sporting event, sometimes he'll yell out things like "big tits, no hips."
Never big hips, no tits.
Yeah. Maybe that too.
And so,
like I said, I don't commit his phrases
until some sort of change in occupation.
Fuck till I truck. He's been known to say that.
Okay, I think I'll be able to give you an approximation. I want to tell you immediately up front that he does sound like a sociopath who has serious fixation issues, probably rooted in edible backgrounds. Not edible, edible backgrounds. Mm-hmm. So things were edible when he was growing up. He was able to eat. Lots and lots of things. I assume often he'll eat Reese's peanut butter cups late at night by himself, watching Out of the Furnace, trying to convince himself that the character Christian Bale portrays and Casey Affleck have it much worse off than him, and that he should try and stave off any sort of depression or alienation and isolation that he feels coming on. But that's just an initial diagnosis. I'll give you the prognosis as I see it professionally at the end of our session. So let's begin. I guess I'll answer his...
Cliff Bars, hot dogs for hippies?
I just believe that... Yes, I mean, Cliff Bars are kind of the delicious... I don't understand why they don't make more... Is this something he would do kind of...
Yeah, you're doing it perfectly. It's almost eerie.
Why isn't there more delicious tasting? I guess the first time... I was with you, let's pretend. Yeah. First time I was with you and we saw that health cookie, the cookie that was gluten-free but had protein. And,
right.
I think it's okay to have a little raw sugar. Why aren't health food bars, taste better? And Cliff Bars do taste pretty good. Hot dogs give you the meat that you need, but they're the assholes and the lips of the pig, the cutest of all animals and the one that rolls in its own filth.
Yeah. But why aren't mountain climbers just... eating hot dogs themselves? Like, why are we...
I think some of them do. I think, that you want complex different types of protein.
It reminds me that my brother would only eat meat when growing up. He wouldn't eat anything except hot dogs or hamburgers.
And would he eat the bread along with it or no?
He wouldn't even eat the bread. He had no interest in anything except
just
meat.
He got to the meat original, of it, so to speak.
He was... I mean, the original paleo diet was not my brother, because my brother doesn't go that far back. But he would only eat meat. So we went camping once, and we brought all this raw meat with us to cook for my brother.
Sure.
And this was in Yosemite, I think. I'm not sure where it was, but we my dad hung it in a tree in a duffel bag, and a giant group of bears came along and took it from us into the forest. Yeah.
And that must have been traumatic. Was it traumatic, though? Were you there during that?
Yeah, we were all there. We were all watching. Mm. It was a bear and its cubs. And they took the because it, so it was attracted by the meat.
Yeah, sure.
And so my brother was blamed for the whole thing. And they took it out. No, because we were far away. We were like rattling pans trying to get them to go away.
So it was fun to a certain extent.
It was kind of fun for me because I felt like I could be the man of the family. We were out of food once he took all our food away, the bear, and I felt like I could fish. I felt confident I could catch enough fish to provide for my family.
And how old were you?
I was about 5.
Seems a little unrealistic.
Yeah, but
Now, is this? Let me just ask you this: could this be where your unrealistic expectations of what reality should be for you? And is, do you think that any of this has? Do you ever feel like maybe you're obsessed a little bit with becoming a man, the archetype of a man, sort of? I don't know, maybe even wanting to fulfill your father's footsteps? Do you have a great need to sort of live up to the standards that he had of himself and of you?
Sure, sure. But, yeah. You know, again, this is just podcast therapy, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Just want to be...
No, that's absolutely fine. And but that, do you think that the defense mechanism of humor sort of came out of the fear there?
I don't think the bear incident was that scary. It, really. I thought it was a fun...
Because it scared me. As you told it to me, I had goosebumps all over the right side of my body. On the left side of my body, I actually had indentations everywhere. It's a condition that I have where I get goosebumps on one side and then little pock marks all over my body on the other. And eventually, it'll sort of even out. And if not, I just put my thumb in my mouth and I blow as hard as I can.
Yeah, these are all sort of coping mechanisms that you've learned over the years.
Physical ones, yeah.
And probably things I should take on myself. If I could learn to have one side of my body react.
I'd love to be able to say that I don't sometimes get on those little penny horses outside of the grocery stores to sort of rock myself to sleep because of my crippling insomnia. I'd love to say that, but I can't.
You reveal a lot more than most
therapists.
It's
attorney-client privilege.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So I can't
I'm going to have to protect your interests, too. It kind of helps that I have a very hard time pronouncing your name, so mm-hmm. It's not going to be
it's
hard
Millier,
for me.
It's Millier. Like the milk.
Okay.
The French milk.
Yeah, yeah. Triple banger. Lightning round. Question two.
Yeah, he joins you on that
question
one.
Question two. This
is he always late to the game on the TBs, the triple bangers?
A little bit. He sort of follows my lead, and I don't give him any clues whatsoever.
The tricky bang tangs?
Yeah, tricky. Sometimes behind closed doors, we call them the tricky bang tangs. We do. I don't know how you knew that.
The tricky bang tangs. Yeah. I don't. Yeah,
banger tangers. Okay, the banging and tanging.
The banging and tanging. Hangling and dangling.
Sean Comets writes, is diarrhea the best excuse to not go to the pool, help someone move, do crunches, or hug it out? Which is it a better...
I don't think diarrhea has ever affected hugging it out. I will say it's not a good idea to do crunches if you have irritable bowel syndrome. I think going to the pool, it's not a great idea. But give me the second one again.
Well, which is the best excuse?
What was the second one, though?
Help someone move.
I think that's a great. That's the only one that you want to get out of. An excuse is, I can't
go
swimming.
Yeah, you always want to go swimming.
It doesn't seem like you would ever want to not go swimming.
I always want to go swimming, so that's sure. Not. But helping someone move, I think the bad back is the way to go there.
Really?
The bad back.
I really prefer.
I actually, I broke my spine on purpose on the train tracks just to avoid helping somebody move. I was about to say my friend, but we've grown apart for some reason.
Yeah.
But, when someone asks you to move, you better have a damn good excuse not to. It has to be a broken spine.
I don't recommend diarrhea. I think that is a good reason not to. I myself use the I'm trapped from the knees down in frozen butter. I put my legs in there to kind of warm them up. I was going to rub lobster all over my body like I do every Friday or Saturday, my lobster bath, as I call it. Obviously, without the shell. And I fell asleep because I was listening to Tchaikovsky, and the butter coagulated and trapped me, and I can't reach my butter chisel or my butter hammer for my butter carving contest.
Your butter hammer, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And that's a lot of people think that's a hammer made out of butter, and it is, in fact.
You ever eat Nutter butter?
I mean, I will say. Again, this is attorney-client privilege, but there's nothing I like more than peanut butter.
Okay.
And butter.
Okay. I'd like to talk about that. Mm-hmm. In fact, I might talk about that during a live show at some point.
Hmm.
Yeah. Peanut butter questions. The diarrhea excuse, that could be used at a wedding, perhaps?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Of course, I think most people have diarrhea at a wedding.
Really?
Bride and groom. It's a very nerve-wracking thing. Are you married, doctor?
I was for a while. It doesn't really matter that much. I think it's important to focus on you and the podcast.
Yeah, well, I'm married.
Yes, I was.
I'm married. And
I was married for a time. I have an ex-wife of 42 years, Karen. And, she's dead now. She exploded inside of a hot air balloon. I had it arranged. It was the way she wanted her ashes to be scattered, and she didn't specify when she was going to die. So
you decided to do both at once.
Accelerated the process.
Yeah, accelerated it. It's sort of like at some point I wanted to have a broken spine, so I just went ahead and did it myself.
Mm.
You know, I mean, a wedding is so
upsetting.
I had a lover
for years that I thought was real, a pool house boy named Dernard, and she was just as beautiful as a piece of pie, as a goddamn health meal. Just, she looked like a dump truck fell on top of a orchard of shit trees.
Was she? Was she? An orchard. Not to be mistaken with a cherry orchard.
Oh, certainly not. An orchard of shit trees.
An orchard of shit trees. That was actually the sequel book to The Cherry Orchard.
Yes, that's right. And that was when Chekhov really checked
really
out.
Really took off.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It took off. Chekhov really took
left
off.
The took reservation off. There.
Yes.
You said it's as beautiful as a pie. Would you, as beautiful as a Clif Bar? Would you go that far?
I don't think so. Clif Bars, if anything, they are ugly.
This is starting to feel a lot like my podcast, and I love you playing
idea.
Along
this
with
is
me.
Role playing.
Yeah, it's this hard hitting. Really. It's this hard hitting every time I get in there.
I would say if I was in a personal situation, this would be uncomfortable for me.
Yeah,
but in a professional setting, it's not. In fact, it's quite exhilarating.
Yeah,
I have goosebumps all over the lower half of my body,
just parts of your body,
and just the upper part of my body has indentations all over it. It's almost like. And almost like my chest is smiling, and there's a thousand little dimples on all my cheeks.
The only way I can sort of associate with what you're saying and kind of understand it is I do have a free range goosebumps on my left.
Oh, you do?
Lower part of my left foot at times.
I get four.
I have a brilliant large foot.
So
I don't know if I've mentioned that. Really? It's over 9 feet.
It's 9 feet tall.
Yeah, it's sort of the opposite. You know how they shrink feet in. Overseas,
you are not going to fit. In
mine
the
are actually extended out.
They did. They, pull
they
them
are pulled.
Out.
They are pulled out.
You won't be able to fit in my office,
which kind of makes up for my broken spine, which
true.
I did
I
to help my
that.
Got out of helping my friend move. But I was talking about weddings, and I sense you. You know, you didn't really have a real wedding at this point. Weddings are stressful.
Well, Dernard didn't exist.
Yeah,
and.
It's hard to have an imaginary wedding that keeps up with the imaginary friend or girlfriend you might have.
I would say that I am having sex with a real animal keeper whose name means pussy. Go ahead, sorry.
You're much funnier than I thought. I mean, you know, for the money I'm paying, I guess it's good that I'm also laughing at times.
I think so.
But I'm used to paying for this podcast.
Levity is the humor
I actually
of
am,
wit.
Yeah.
That's true.
I actually am $234,000 under on the podcast at this point. So,
do you have a gambling
I've
problem?
Lost a – no, well, the podcast itself is
does
a gamble.
Does anyone around you have
and money? I lost.
Oh, I see. I see. Yes. does anyone around you have a gambling problem?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead. Keep going, please.
Yeah. I was just going to say that weddings, by the time you get married, you're so upset at how you know how difficult the preparation was and how stressed your fiancé is that you just want it to be done. Mm. You know? And then the next day I woke up and I felt great. I was really happy. But I was really pissed at my fiancé by the time we got married. And last month was really treacherous.
And that created
and
a
the
lot
next
of diarrhea
day, the
for you?
Day we started, it was mainly diarrhea for a month, yeah. Yeah. Triple banger lightning round.
Question number three.
Question three.
Says, yeah.
Question three. This one's by a fellow named Jonas Polsky, who writes into the show once in a while. Best malapropism.
I do enjoy malapropism.
Yeah. Parking up the wrong tree. It takes tulips to tango. Mm. Don't put all of your eggs in one casket.
Hmm.
Or bulimic in a china shop.
Hmm.
I'm not sure what to make of that noise that you...
Okay. Well, a great malapropism also holds true. So you can't be... I guess you could say, you know, I knew someone who drove
parking
a truck
up the wrong
into
tree.
An orchard. That's true. She ran off the road.
Right. If you were to crash
into an orchard, then she would be parking up the wrong tree.
Yeah. So that could happen. especially I've a shit orchard. Found, yeah, that would most often happen in a shit orchard.
That is a shit show when a car goes, when a car goes into an orchard. That type, yeah.
So it takes two. Well, it takes tulips to tango.
Let me get Lesbionic Supersonic on this one and say that most of the time I do have to buy flowers for my girl if she'll go dancing with me. So it does take tulips to tango. What was the other one?
Don't put all of your eggs in one casket.
And that's if you're expecting, you know, one particularly wealthy relative to die for your, a good inheritance. Don't do that. Expect, you know, hope that you'll get inheritance from a bunch of people all dying at once.
Bulimic in a china shop.
Bulimic.
That was a tough one for me.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Like a, it should be like a bulimic in a china shop. Because that's the, right? Like a bowl in a china shop. Yeah, I don't like that. I think that that one doesn't quite fit. So that's the worst one.
So I think parking up the wrong tree is the
I
way to
that's
go.
That's the funniest, yes. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Good.
Now what we usually do is we move along to a section called Where Were You?
Where were you? I was part of the Indiana Men's Choir. You should have seen me when I was there. I had half the pounds on my body and twice the amount of hair. Sorry, I don't mean to brag, but I was.
Usually,
of
we don't sing
events.
During that part, but I like where you went with that. I flew. I'm calling you from Portland right now, and I flew to Portland, and it was a Southwest flight. A fellow next to me on the plane said he was about a 434-pound man.
Oh,
yeah. And we had
God,
a middle.
I'd love to meet him.
Right. And we had a middle. There was a middle seat which was open between us. And the flight was fairly full. And he leaned over and he said, guess we got lucky. Yeah.
That is
like,
terrifying.
I guess we got lucky that the middle seat was empty as he spilled over into it. And I thought to myself, luck had very little to do with this. This had to do with a lot of ribs, you know, a lot of home cooking, you know, a lot of Cliff Bars, a lot of hot dogs, not even at the pinnacle, not even at the summit of a great mountain, just on the bottom floor at a food truck. This luck had nothing to do with us having a middle seat. And let's be real, we don't have a middle seat. You are in the middle seat. And you're in the aisle seat. You're in both seats.
You're in all.
Let's
of the
be real.
Seats, yeah.
You're
yeah.
base. You're yeah. in my seat also.
I know that.
And if we do have a crash, if somehow this plane goes down, you falling on me is going to be much worse than if the plane itself disintegrates.
So you really have a mean streak inside of you, Mr. Levy. So you. You truly hate this man for having a weakness of will when it comes to food.
No, there's no hatred there. In fact, it's you know what? It's beneath me to make fun of heavy people. I just thought he was
now,
not.
Hold on, now.
I wasn't. I don't
come,
think.
No, I'm just.
My joke is more about how he was. Let me just say something.
Yeah, but now I think we've gotten to the root of the problem.
I think he was.
So I'm going to jump back here and say that. You know, I wonder because you say it's beneath you too.
Yeah.
Again, that idea of the standard, holding yourself to a standard, not feeling like you can let yourself go and be unapologetic, even if you do have those real feelings. Not that you do.
Mm. Going back to the Bears, right?
Mm.
Almost as if,
yes.
like I had to support the family. Think of the burden that put on me. Really, though, I'm more making fun of his lack of awareness about why the middle seat was empty, not his weight.
Oh,
I have the utmost respect
that.
For people.
I knew that. And actually,
the
fact
respect.
That you sort of inferred, what you just inferred, tells me a little bit more about you and how you see things.
Yeah.
This neurosis runs deep, Mr. Levy. Will
deep it runs, this neurosis.
And what? What is that? What, are you, what are you doing with your voice?
You ever seen Star Wars?
No, I don't think I... With Jake Busey?
No, I don't think he was in that one.
Oh, that Starship Troopers.
Yeah.
You seen that?
I have not.
You've got to see it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll check
God,
it out.
God, I mean, it is a great movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so that voice is from that film that you're talking about?
Yeah. I was just sort of... I was already in a bad mood at the airport because I saw someone wearing scrubs at the airport. You know, doctor scrubs.
Sure.
And we know you're a doctor. Now, I've talked about scrubs on the show before, but we know you're a doctor. You don't have to...
How do we know that they're a doctor?
He was checking in for a flight. He has a doctor. We know you're a doctor. We know. You know? I'm a comedian. I don't wear a clown suit when I travel through the airport.
But you do wear... I just can only imagine just shirts that are barely hanging on for dear life.
How would you know such a thing?
You strike me as a man who's very stubborn in his ways.
You're very presumptuous.
That can be,
or you're intuitive.
That can manifest itself physically in refusing to throw out pieces of clothing, things like that. That hold on sort of the past is also a grappling, a reaching out for some sort of control.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Mm. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Where were you, doctor?
Well, I don't know. So I guess I have to... Is it better if I'm honest or if I sort of make something up for this? I guess we have attorney-client privilege.
Yeah.
I was butter carving in Fiji under the alias of Buttersnap Whippertart. I've been blowing my way through Cambodia, literally performing fellatio for rides across Cambodia. And once I had blown my way across the continent, I found my way to Fiji, and where there was a butter carving contest that is unparalleled in Indonesia. And so I blew myself some equipment, a chisel and a butter hammer. And I blew myself right into a suite at the Kingstown Hyatt Merritt. And it was a Pilton, actually. I think it was owned, the whole thing's owned by Pilton. I found my way to third place of the Fiji International Butter Carving Contest.
Can we backpedal a little bit to the blowing your way across?
Absolutely.
I know a guy that gives people piggyback rides.
Hmm.
All the way, around the world, really.
Yeah.
You do it sort of an opposite way, where you actually give blowjobs for rides.
Oh, make no mistake. It's not necessarily blowjobs. Mm-hmm. I will blow hot air into the anus of whoever's paying, I will create queefs, as I call them, my CQs.
Oh, yes.
Yep, that's...
Creef creations?
It's one of my hobbies on the side. CQs, yeah.
CQs, yeah.
Yeah, I think queef is spelled with a Q.
Okay, did not know that. Yeah. Ouch, wild stuff.
That, I know that. That's the Wookiee. Mm-hmm.
Strength,
from Star Wars.
Strength is not my spelling.
Mm? Mm, okay, Johnny Carson, I like it.
Let's move along. We have a section we like to call Maskers, and people have sent in a ton of maskers I wanted to get to. So let's do
that.
That? Maskers is like
masks. Is it sort of asking questions?
No, it's not about masks. Why do people always think it's about masks? This is really starting to piss me off.
Okay?
It's not. It's ask the masters. Ask the masters. It's not about masks. It's not about, masking tape on your wall.
I get it, yeah. I don't know why you didn't call it Aster.
It's not about a movie called Mask.
Yeah, I just don't know why you didn't.
So stop asking that, seriously. I didn't call you and pay you money to mock my show like this. It's called Maskers. Ask the Masters. Got it?
Yeah, why don't you call it
that? Let me make one thing clear. You will not mock the Maskers segment. Okay. It doesn't happen on my watch.
Okay, I see here our time is up. Just kidding. Why didn't you just call it the Askers? Fair enough.
I warned you.
Well, what the? Who the? Where the? How the?
Horton, here's the who the. Monsieur Provocateur asks, binge winking, a home wrecking habit or a great way to make friends?
I really like the concept of binge winking.
Binge winking. We've talked about that on the show.
Be a cash phrase.
Binge winking.
I think it's a great way to make friends.
I mean, Has anyone ever died from excessive winking? I think that's more likely to have happened back in the day when people winked more. I don't think people wink as much. It people used to be super horny people would wink a lot, and it was it's a dying art. Yeah, and they would, you know, you open one eye really wide.
I
feel this,
but I am I'm winking. Well, that is a great wink. I can tell from the way your tongue.
People
is
used to wink all the time, and they don't do it as much anymore. It's sort of a dying art.
I wink quite a bit because I am very horny. I mean, I'll fuck till I sail.
Oh, you're very You don't fuck till you truck.
Yeah, you know, I'll fuck till I boat, till I speedboat. But I've never, I don't know even what that would mean. Yeah, fucking till you truck. What, what does that?
I don't know why he says that. Like I said, my guest is on my show so often that I get used to the things he says. I don't even understand what they.
Yeah,
what,
that doesn't
really
seem
means.
Like something that anyone should ever say.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's an affliction people take seriously, though. I don't think you can take an affliction seriously. Unless someone dies from it, right? You can overdose on drugs or alcohol. Can you overwink? That's the question.
I don't think
binge
so.
Winking. Can you overwink? No,
I don't think so. No, I mean, I think you're only bound to make a bunch of friends. So sorry, go ahead.
Okay. Next question, Levi Priner, P-R-E-I-N-E-R. Rule number one: do butterflies remember being caterpillars?
Now, that's not a rule, though. That's a question. So what?
It is on my show. Sense. Yeah.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. Rules are questions on my show.
Well, what are questions?
That hasn't been discussed.
Well, they've got to be statements or rules.
Well, probably. Yeah. Question number one. Stop asking that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll follow the questions. Go ahead.
Yeah. Do butterflies remember being caterpillars? It's a good question.
I hope not. That was probably pretty horrifying.
Terrible.
That metamorphosis.
Yeah.
You know, they might see other caterpillars and say, look at that ugly fucking bug.
Mm.
Them not knowing themselves that they had been caterpillars at one point.
Do you think that...
Perhaps that's a metaphor for humanity, that people seem to, once they become themselves, a better version of themselves, it's hard for them to even remember their former self.
I think a better question, though, is does a butterfly ever try to have sex with a caterpillar?
Well, that would be a better rule.
Yeah. Better rule
according
number one.
Okay. Well, I guess question number two is.
I mean, maybe just to.
It would do humanity well to remember that they were a caterpillar, and that was the only way they could become the butterfly. Well, that's our time. Thank you so much, Cleveland. I'm just teasing. Go ahead.
Just a couple more, and then I I'm looking
at
my numbers.
I've got a good handle on this, but yeah, let's do two or three more.
Two or three more, but I'm looking
at
it.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear
you. Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you still.
Hello?
This fella...
Is somebody in there or what? What, are you writing a novel in there? Jesus. You might want to give it a flush or it's going to push you up towards the ceiling. Sorry, I'm trying to use the men's room here in the hallway.
Stephen Scott, who's a great friend of the show, he actually he puts together some of the worst of Cashing In.
Really?
With T.J. Miller episodes. A very funny guy.
Does he ever... he smells like a pile of rosemary and thyme got mixed in with elderly people's bile after eating solely McFlurries and potatoes for a long time?
I feel like you've listened to the show. This is getting...
I have not.
No, okay.
I'm a big Comedy Bang Bang fan, and I like What the Fuck with Marc Maron. Those are my two favorite. They just speak more to... the intellectual side of me. Mm-hmm, and then I do enjoy Doug Loves Groovies, which is, I think he has 58 podcasts, and this one is him enjoying sort of groovalicious funk beats, just even guitar licks.
Yeah.
While he's high.
Yeah. With one friend, right?
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Stephen Scott asks, what's the best name for the next?
Excuse me. I have an allergy to bullshit.
you better avoid that, that shit orchard. What's the best name for the next Transformers sequel? Transformers 5. 5 Fast, 5 Furious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Transformers 5. National Landmarks Be Damned.
Okay, I like that one.
Transformers 5. Moon Wizard 2. This time, it's even more personal.
Well, that's absurd. It does make me laugh, but I don't even know what Moon Wizard is.
Moon Wizard.
Yes, I heard you the first time.
Just feels good to say it, doesn't
it? Well, I haven't said it, so I can't...
Say it. Just say it once.
I really
appreciate
it.
Please say it.
I think that It's the role of the therapist to decide which
okay.
reason.
Okay.
Moon wizard. You're right. You're right. You're right.
It did feel good, didn't it?
I stand corrected.
Okay, one more. Adam Nicolets at After the Bull writes, at what time in history was licking your wounds a doctor-advised treatment?
Oh, I'd say before any hashtag, sort of medicine.
Hashtag first responders. I think that's a good one. I mean, I think that's a funny one. I like the idea that early on, that was really what the doctors would do. They'd just say, just lick it. And then after that, when people wanted to feel good, they would say, psst,
that's before
taste
the,
it.
That's from it. Even before taste washing, it. You know?
Taste it.
I think until there was a washing of the wounds, you would just, yeah, people.
Just lick it. Just lick your wounds.
You know, for a while, people had dogs solely to lick their wounds.
It wouldn't have been as hard back then to train to be a doctor.
A dog and, I mean, was your the profession, original doctor.
Yeah, your profession.
That's true.
Yeah, your profession is really advanced.
Yeah.
Leaps and bounds. I mean, talking to you, I can tell you're a very educated man.
Well, I can tell you quite a few things about yourself. Now, we are out of time.
Yeah, okay, okay. Thank you, doctor.
So
thank you, doctor.
I like
what do you think
call...
about the show?
I like to call my sessions sort of their own podcasts. And often when I have a session that runs long, but the prognosis or the diagnosis is going to be even longer, I call those sessions my cliffhangers.
Oh, cliffhanger sessions.
Yeah, so we can speak again. Now, remember, I will lead by saying that the prognosis is not good.
Oh.
And the diagnosis has, I think, more to do with you than the format of the show itself, preventing you from having the guests that you either want or feel you need. I might even say that you feel you deserve.
Mm.
There seems to be some inferiority complexes.
Well, you know what I'm going to do then?
I've never been good at saying that.
Not at all.
I'm not good at it.
I
don't think I'll ever be as good as other people at it.
You're terrible at saying inferiority complex.
Yeah.
And that's one of your weaknesses, I think, as a doctor. And I'd like to call you in the future and maybe give you a little brief account of how I felt about your work. But for now, I'm just going to lie in the corner and lick my wounds.
I think that's a good idea. And I will say, next session, let's do that. I'll sort of give you a rundown of what I think is going on with the show. And you can tell me what you thought of the session. And then maybe we can continue to work together. Or you can basically go shit in a hat and wear it for Christmas.
Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you, Mr. Levy.
We always close with a song.
I'm not really much of a singer. Except when I was in the Indiana Man's Choir of
Love
the Day. Beast of the burden, it's a
love
burden, the beast.
Hurts.
A burden in the hand is a burden on your shoulders. Can't get a tan without laying on the boulders.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.